Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Good morning. What a opportunity for us to see. There's nothing cuter, in my opinion, than kids singing up front. And, so great, Wayne. Great job. I mean, I was in youth ministry for 9 years, but, I understand wrangling, older kids, but, like, praise the Lord that you can, and they, beautiful, great job. I mean, like, I almost feel sorry for second service because they missed that. So today, we're continuing our series called Life Interrupted, exploring a God-ordained interruption that led to the birth of the Savior of the world. This week, we turn our attention to a lesser discussed character in the birth narrative of Jesus, Joseph, the adoptive father of our Savior. While not much is written about Joseph, the role is no less significant in the story that has captivated hearts for over 2,000 years. And I said this last week, our world, regardless of your view of Jesus and who he is and what he's done, our world is significantly impacted, affected, and changed because of Jesus. And today, we're going to talk about one of those characters that, though he had a less than significant role in this, was very important. Sometimes being a supporting character rather than the star of the show can still lead to extraordinary and meaningful endings. Let me just give that a little bit. No one in here, including me, including the Yahoo with the microphone, is the star of the show. And if you live your life like you're the center of it, you will ruin your life and everyone around you. And when I say he had he was a supporting character, we're all a supporting character in this kingdom narrative. None of us is Christ. None of us is the Messiah. We're all called to be supporting roles in something that God is doing. And I want us to honor this guy named Joseph. Although not much was written, Jesus wouldn't have been able to do what Jesus did if he didn't have a dad. Like, not only was he ridiculed later and, like, where did he come from? There was all these speculations about that. But if Joseph wouldn't have stepped in when Joseph stepped in, I think our story would be completely different. And so today, I want to kind of unpack as much as we can. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And we're going to talk about what we know about Joseph, and I'm going to give you some, what I think are some takeaways from it. So before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, honestly, if you don't show up, I'm just going to say words. And words are going to be heard, and we'll go on with our day. But Lord, if you show up, and if you interact with us this morning, and you open our eyes and our hearts to see the gravity of what your Son has done for us, Lord, we'll willingly allow you to interrupt our life. And so this morning, I pray that we would step aside from this central figure in our own story, and we would step into this kingdom narrative that you've called us to. So Lord, open our eyes and our minds to receive the word that you have, and help us honor your stepdad today. We love you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Or adoptive father. So if you've not been with us, we've been doing this series for this is week three. And so week one, we talked about Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. He went into, in his priestly duties, into the area right outside the Holy of Holies, still a holy area, still an area that only two people per day get to enter into to burn incense. And those prayers being lifted to the Father. And while he was in there, he had an encounter with Gabriel, an angel, that told him that your prayers have been answered, you're going to be with a child. And he, although he should have been faithfully ready for this mission and not questioned, he questioned the angel that came from the Lord to be like, how is this going to happen? Me and my wife are old. We've been unable to have a child. Even though this guy was a teacher of the law, he knew the law. He knew the story of Abraham and Sarah, and he still doubted. And because of that, he was silent for the whole pregnancy. But Zechariah's life was interrupted so that he could be the father of the one that prepared the way for the Savior. He prepared. That's really week one, is God's interruption allows us to prepare the way. And like this young man that we prayed for with Rocio Christie, prayer and study and people have been preparing the way. If this ministry wasn't there, where would he have been for the last 2 years hearing about the gospel? And then last week, we talked about Mary. This young girl who was engaged to be married to our character today that we're going to talk about had also a visitation from the angel, not in a holy place, but in a city that was probably looked down on by the other godly people because they were surrounded by Gentiles, people that were unclean and impure. And the angel came to her and told her she was going to have a child outside of her future wedding to Joseph. And that child was going to come from the Father. And she's a young girl. There's speculations of, 14 to 16 years old. Could have been a little bit older. Could have been a little bit younger. But she was pretty knowledgeable in the sense that she knew that she was not going to get pregnant on her own. There had to be some other party. And how was this going to happen? And she questioned like Zechariah, but her question did not come from a lack of faith or unbelief. It came from how is this going to work? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to conceive a child and that child's going to be considered or called the Son of God. And Mary made this statement, which we talked about last week. She said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. I mean, could you imagine? And we talked about the implications of that she's saying yes to this amazing thing. And in front of an angel, it's easy to have the confidence that like, oh my goodness, the Lord is speaking, He's coming, He's invited me into His story, I'm going to carry His child, and then He disappears. And this is kind of where we're picking up the story today. He disappears, and she's left with this reality that I am now pregnant. I'm going to have to explain to my future husband, Joseph, that I am with child, in a way that no one has ever experienced or heard of before, the Lord impregnated me. Which sounds great. It's part of our story, and we just think like, okay, normal, yes, to us, because we've heard this story our lives. As long as you've been in Christianity, you've heard this story. And here is this woman that's going to have a conversation, a very awkward conversation, with her future husband, Joseph. So we're going to pick this up in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus took place this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Betrothal, like I said last week, in this culture, was more than modern engagement. If you get engaged to somebody, it's a big deal. You exchange, a ring to her, a promise that you're going to get married, then you spend some time preparing for it. In this culture, it was more than that. It was two families had met together. Maybe they had planned this marriage for years, since the birth of the girl, you don't know. But they come together and they basically draw up a contract, and the betrothed, or the fiancé, the husband, a future husband, he pays a bride price for this young woman. He pays the father. So there's a contract that's been written up, and usually there's a year period. There's 12 months of preparation for the couple where she would prepare herself to be married, getting ready, all the things that she needs to, but he would begin to prepare the house that they're going to live in. He would spend most of that year making, adding, building the house, the home that they would live into or move into once they got married. But they would spend a year in this preparation, and families are excited about this. Verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Remember, there had to be a divorce. You couldn't just, hey, here's your ring and we're not going to get married. There has to be this divorce. There had to be this paper drawn up to so they could be legally divorced, even though they're not officially married in our sense. And it says some important things about Joseph that we need to understand. It says that he was a just man. A just man signifies that he was morally upright, that he was a man of principles, even and one who obeyed the law, because he was walking this out. He could have done whatever. Joseph, in this moment, could have shamed her greatly. And so, in my opinion, it paints this picture that Joseph had dreamed about Mary. He was excited, loved this girl, because could you imagine if he did not like this girl, if they had animosity, if they were fighting, if there was some reason that he felt compelled to, he could shame her publicly. He could make this as public as possible to the point of calling for her to be stoned, even though they legally couldn't do it. That was under the law out of Deuteronomy, that they could stone her for being unfaithful even in this. But he wasn't interested in publicly shaming Mary so that he could feel better about himself. He wasn't interested in destroying the life of Mary. And so in his goodness, he was going to divorce her quietly, because in his world, their world, in this first century culture, she was, don't take offense to this, she was damaged goods. She was unclean, because on the surface, regardless of what she said to him, she is pregnant from someone else, which is a big deal. I know in our culture, it is pretty much nothing to have sex with whoever. Like in this culture, it was a big deal. And he was a just man, which I think speaks volumes about him. How many of us would have done the same, quietly decide to walk away from this? I mean, now with social media, it's very easy for us to shame whoever we want to shame. It's very easy to throw someone under the bus for doing some slight to us so that we could make ourselves feel better or reclaim some of our face for it. Not Joseph. But as he considered these things, and this is most likely found out after she went away, the bride and groom would not spend much time together, no time alone together. And so during this year, and we skip this part, but Mary went and visited her cousin Elizabeth, who's now pregnant. And there's this interaction where the Holy Spirit comes on Elizabeth, and the baby within her jumps his cousin, John the Baptist, and she speaks these words over Mary. And so she spends 3 months with Elizabeth, comes back, and is maybe potentially now starting to show a little bit. Can't hide what's going on. And this is most likely when these things were found out. But he considered these things. As he considered these things, Joseph did not make a rash decision out of anger or hurt pride. He weighed the options. Kindness and care for Mary were more important to Joseph. And while he considered these things, this thing happened. And this is, I would say, an encouragement to all of us, is be slow to make a decision, especially when it comes out of this place where we're hurt and angry. And so he considered these things. He weighed them. He didn't make... Can you see the weight of this decision? This woman that you've loved for who knows how long, that you've been promised, that you've prepared this bride price, you've given it, you've signed the contract of this future marriage. And I'm sure he was thinking, we're going to have a family, we're going to have children. And he's dreamed, like every single person that's ever been engaged, of what will be, how it'll look like. And he's considering these things because he's torn, in my opinion. He's torn about what to do. He didn't just go, okay, we're going to... It wasn't even a quick decision to silently or with, you know, do it quietly, the divorce. He's pondering these things. And while he was pondering these things, this happens to him. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Although Joseph wasn't as educated as the rabbis, he was still aware of the promises of his family line. Remember, we talked about this? He was a son of David, meaning that he was from the line of David, which Mary was also from the line of David. And the prophecy that she would come from that line, he would be aware of. And the angel makes a point of saying, Joseph, son of David, almost saying to him, remember what was promised. Mary had her moment with the angel of the Lord, and now Joseph was getting his. Do not fear Mary. She was not damaged good. She was not unclean, for this is from the Lord. I mean, think about the weight of these implications. We just think of it through our lens of, yes, there had to be a Mary and there had to be a Joseph because that's the story that we've known. We don't think about how it was for Mary to have this conversation and look at Joseph in the face and say, hey, I'm pregnant, but I'm pregnant from the Lord, and him look at you like you're a crazy person and go, sure you are. I mean, think about this. Like, he pondered these things. He didn't go... Because if he believed it from the beginning, he wouldn't have to have a dream from it. He was like, that's great. That's great. I mean, this is a new one. I have never heard one of my friends or anyone else say that they're pregnant from the Lord. But think about it on the other end of this. Now you have this man who's going to marry this woman, supposed to be holy and pure, or not holy, or you know, pure. And she's now with child. And he's thinking, I love her enough to not shame her, not to ask for her to be killed because of this. But like, I don't want to be that guy. Until this moment where the angel shows up in a dream and says, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. There's lots of fear. Could you imagine the fear of going, people are going to know. People are going to know that she was pregnant because there's later on, there's people that make comments in the Gospels to allude to some people were aware of where he came from. Not from the Lord, but you know, from outside of marriage. Think about the shame because he's not just going to be in another city, which we're going to talk about a little bit. He does move around a lot, but he's going to be in this town. And anybody that grew up in a small town is aware how fast things get out and how aware people are about what's going on in your house and what people say about you. And he didn't care. Verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Remember, Jesus, literally translated out, is Jehovah, is salvation. God saves. Jesus' name not only proclaimed his mission, but it also confirmed his deity and the efficiency of his mission. Sin brought death and separated us from God, and God was going to fix that with his son, Jesus. Jesus was coming for one purpose, to save people from their sin, not to get back control from the Romans. See, they were looking, even when you say David, they think king, they think conquering king, they think, oh, you know, David killed his 10,000s, like we're going to get rid of this evil empire, we're going to remove Rome from here. They were looking for a different type of Savior. These words must have brought him back brought to Joseph's mind the promise that God said to provide salvation through this new covenant in Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 31. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke. Though I was their husband, declares the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel for those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the last of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more." There was a promise, you know, and I want to go back to this over and over again because I think sometimes we can look at the Bible and go, it seems chaotic. It seems unplanned. It seems like, well, this happened and this happened because of this and this. And I want you to know that from the beginning, God had been preparing this moment. We talked about this last week with Genesis 3:15, from the beginning there was a plan of what was going to happen. And this plan is now, in I think it was Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, it was happening right now. This new covenant was coming. No longer would they be able to do what they did before. They failed at it. God rescued, redeemed them out of Egypt, and even with that, even the show of that powerful hand, it didn't work. Verse 22. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is a 750-year promise fulfilled in this person. See, this is what the angel's saying to Joseph in this dream. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Who she is carrying right now, he's going to save the world from their sins. And he's going to be God with us. Emmanuel. See, God with us. God put on flesh and walked among us. No longer would God be distant or far off. No longer would you have to travel to this one place to be in the presence of God. God came to our world and interacts with us still. And Jesus, when he told his disciples, "It is to your benefit that I leave so that I can send the counselor," right now, here in this room, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us, his children. That power to overcome the world is within us, like written on our hearts. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel, the Lord, commanded. He took his wife. Psalms 119:60 says, "I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments." Joseph's faithfulness, he didn't wake up. See, he was considering these things before, but when the angel of the Lord spoke to him in the dream, he woke up and did exactly what the angel of the Lord commanded to him. He took Mary to be his wife. It would have been, I believe, a completely different story if he would have silently divorced Mary, and Mary would have been a single mother. Jesus would have never had access to some of the things that he had access to because of Joseph. Because he had a father that could take him to the temple on the eighth day, mom and dad, to have him dedicated, a father that consistently went when he was 12 years old, only other encounter that we have with Joseph. There's nothing written about Joseph after this moment. He was there faithfully going like he was commanded to go and worship. It shows a man that was faithfully following God even in this. See, some of our following of the Father isn't just what I do. Like sometimes people see, you know, well, if I have a calling, the calling looks like Heath. It looks like preaching the Word. It looks like planting a church. It looks like being in ministry. And I just want to tell you that the obedience that God calls us to does not look like this. You're not called to look like me. Someone in here, I mean, may be called into ministry, but for the most part, we're called to be obedient. And most of that obedience, even in this job, is messy. Joseph, just like Mary, after that dream ended, the angel didn't stay there with them. Hey, angel, can you come and talk to my mom and dad? Because they're not going to be okay with this. I mean, could you imagine going to your parents and going, I've decided to marry this woman anyway? I mean, I'm sure he's going to tell them the dream, but they're going to be like, I'm sure you had a dream. Like, Jesus' brothers didn't necessarily believe that he was who he says he was until after the resurrection. At one encounter, they go to rescue him, going, he's out of his mind. Like, we've got to fix him. We've got to take him out of this. 25, it says, and he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. We all understand what that means, right? Joseph honored his father, God. But marrying this woman, even though she was carrying a child that wasn't his. And I would say he was a good dad. I would say that Mary and Joseph weren't perfect, but they were the parents of the Messiah, which is a whole nother... I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine? I mean, you have kids? I mean, could you imagine when that little baby comes out and you're like, this is... the Savior of the world. I have to wipe his butt. Like, I just got vomited on by the Savior of the Lord. I mean, I love those videos of, like, the kid. They're like, yeah, and the kid vomits right in the face of the person. You know, as a two-year-old, as learning to walk in, like, his first steps, you're like, how is this God among us? See, this is a faithful person because... and I say this all the time, what God promises, a lot of times we don't see for a long time. Honestly, Joseph never saw. Because before his first miracle at the wedding at Cana, Joseph was not recorded of being, he would have been there. It was a family wedding. He would have been there recorded. So most likely sometime between 12 and 30 of Jesus' life, Joseph died. He never got to see the fulfillment of the promise of the ridicule and the shame that he took from people in his community to be the adoptive father of the Messiah. And you know what he did? He worked faithfully. You know how we know he worked? Because later on, it says about Jesus, you're just the son of the carpenter. He didn't have a fancy job. He didn't have some big time, whatever. He was just a carpenter's son. And you know what that says? That says that the dad was working. Because if not, it would be like, you were the son of the deadbeat that didn't work, that didn't provide. And remember, we have scriptures like, you're worse than an unbeliever if you don't provide. And Joseph provided for his family. And did the best he could shepherding the shepherd. I mean, remember, later on, they take him to the temple when he was 12 years old. And I'm telling you, I've said this in here, and I just think it's hilarious. Can you imagine losing the Messiah for 3 days? 3 days! Like, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a bad parent. I lost my kid in a Ross once. I thought somebody kidnapped him. If you've ever seen a crazy parent, I'm thinking someone has my son. And like, I don't know if y'all have seen Taken. But I'm like, I wasn't armed, but I was ready. I was ready. I was like, ain't nobody getting out of here. What other doors? I'm going looking in the, you know, like changing rooms. And I'm like, I'm like, someone's in, no lie. He's going to be here second service, so I won't say this in second service. Though he's heard it. And I'm freaking out. I'm going aisle, I'm looking, and I'm sure people are like, what is wrong with this guy? Like, he's probably the Unabomber. I mean, I had the crazy face. I'm looking, and here's Noah, about 2 years old or 3 years old. He comes out from one of those circle, you know, clothing. He was in the center having his private pooping time. And it must have been a good one because he was like, and he sees me, he's like, I poop. I was like, it's like the like clarity of your son's not kidnapped, being murdered by somebody, but he pooped. And it's like, okay. 3 days, they lost the Savior of the world. And I don't know who finally was like, I don't know how many people they traveled with, but like a 12-year-old, you would be like, you would notice that your kid is missing. And what do? They go back to the temple frustrated at this kid who did this to them. And what did he say to him? He's like, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? He wasn't talking about Joseph. From a beginning, Jesus understood his calling. He understood who he was. See, Joseph had two more dreams. Right after this, the Magi come in, tell Herod that the king of the Jews has been born, and he's like, oh, where has he been born? Well, we don't know. We're following the star. And he asked the people, he's born in Bethlehem. And so he murders all the babies under 2 years old, all the baby boys in Bethlehem. And so God speaks to Joseph again in a dream, go to Egypt. And you know what he does? He gets up and goes. And he spends some time there, and Herod dies. And again, the angel comes to him in the dream because Jesus needs to be in his city. He's dead, now go back home. This was a faithful man that was willing to operate inside the realm that God called him to. Like, Joseph didn't take this honor of being the father of the Messiah and go to the Pharisees and go, like, I need to be in your group. Like, I need to be on the good team now because look who I am. He just did life as he should, as he was before, and did his part. See, Joseph's dream did not include a pregnant fiance. And I'm not talking about the dream that the angel, I'm talking about his hope for his future. He didn't have a dream of a pregnant fiance, not his kid, being the adopted father of the Messiah and facing all that he was sure to face because of this thing. Joseph was just a man willing to follow Jesus. Just a man willing to be interrupted. In this series, in this thing, I've said this, and I haven't said it today, but so let me say it today so that every week you've heard this. And if you're new, you will hear this maybe for the first time. We try to specifically talk about disciples more than we say the word Christian. Because in our culture, Christian is just a title that a lot of people will check on a form or you'll say. And I like to use the word followers of Jesus or disciple because it's an action. Because Christians are disciples and followers, and disciples follow Jesus. They don't just have this moment where they get saved, but they say, hey, you're my head, you're the leader, I'm going to follow you. And so I've said this every week during these services, is the reality is that if your life hasn't been interrupted because of your relationship with Jesus, you may have been getting something wrong. And if I make eye contact with you, it's just the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with me looking at you and judging you because someone told me that you're not whatever. I have people all the time be like, why'd you look at me? I don't know. If you don't know me and if you've never had any long conversations with me, I'm a little bit of a sustained eye contact guy. It's just how God made me. And so, like, it's never on purpose. Like, at our young pros, like, I start asking questions. I just look at the ground. Because if I look up, I just want to look at your faces. I'm not like, give me the answer. I'm not doing that on purpose. So, like, if I looked at you during that, it is not anything. But if you feel like the Holy Spirit is doing something, let Him. Because the truth of it is you're not the star of the show. You're not the main character. And if you live your life like you are, and most of us, if we're really honest, that's how we live our life. And how do I know that? Because everything that we're frustrated about is because it's not going our way. Every fight, almost, that happens between you and your significant others is usually because you aren't getting, James said it, why do fight and quarrels happen among you? Because you want, you covet, you want this thing and you don't get it. And so the only way that I think you'll truly be happy is you get out of the starring role. I'm reading this book right now called A Praying Church by Paul E. Miller. We're going to have a prayer series in January. That's going to be our next series that's coming up. And he had this great thing at chapter two or three. He'll have like a section for pastors. And he's like, here's a prayer for you pastors. I don't remember it all, but I'll tell you the first two lines. The first line was, I resign from being the third member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit. I resign from being the spiritual leader of Reach Community Church. Because you are not my sheep. Hopefully, if you're my sheep, we're in trouble. I'm a shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd of the shepherd. And his whole idea is like, I cannot, nor can you, be the Holy Spirit for people. And the truth of it is, if we want to see things changed in our lives and in our world, prayer has to be at the center of it. And you know how? If we think we're the star of the show, then it has to be us that fixes everything. It has to be us that redeems everything. It has to be us that says all the right things. But if we're supporting character, we just do our role. We just do what He's called us to do, which is to rely on Him to bring change. And truthfully, if you want anything in your life that has anything to do with kingdom, anything to do with God, and prayer isn't the foundation of it, it's just about you. It's just about you trying to manipulate and control the environment. And I'm the worst. Let me tell you the worst two flaws of me as a pastor. I like to be liked. I want you to be like, he's a nice guy, which is danger, because sometimes I can't be a nice guy. I don't mean I'm going to be mean and throw things, but sometimes I have to say things that you don't like. And two, I'm a peacemaker. I want to fix things. Husbands out there, let me give you a piece of advice that if you leave here, your life will be better. Stop trying to fix her. Every problem that she says, everything that she gives you, a lot of times it's just so you can hear her, not fix. So if you want a little piece of advice, this is free, this isn't even part of the sermon, just ask, do you want me to listen or do you want me to help? And then whatever she says, do what she says. Don't say, I just want you to listen and still try to fix it. We are celebrating Emmanuel, God with us, because of this man. And I'm not trying to elevate Joseph above anyone else, but I'm just telling you, if Joseph wasn't there, this wouldn't be the story that we would be talking about right now. This would have been a different thing altogether. But because Joseph was there, we get what we have. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. And I got one question for you. What are you willing to live with or walk through to see God move in your house and in your city? Joseph lived with shame and ridicule. Joseph lived with the reality that the majority of his town probably knew that Jesus wasn't his. Joseph allowed his life to be used and interrupted over and over again so that we would have this narrative that we have right now. So what are you willing to live with or walk through to see God move in your house and city? And if you've seen our new shirts, has Jesus written in three different languages, English, Greek, Hebrew. And it says, in our hearts, homes, and cities. That's our mission. And what we're trying to do, mostly what Sunday mornings are about, is I'm trying to capture your heart. Not me personally, but I'm trying to expose it to the Lord and let the Lord do what He needs to do. Because you cannot change your home or your city without that. So what are you willing to live with or walk through to see God move in your home or in your city. See, week one, we talked about our life being interrupted so we can prepare. Because that's what John the Baptist did. He prepared for Jesus. Week two, we talked about Mary, and we allow our lives to be interrupted so that we can carry Christ, which is our role. Our role today to walk out of here is not to carry ideas. Our role is to carry Christ when we live here. And today, I think through the view of Joseph, we see the fact that he's called us to care for those that he puts in our life. And so what I want to do for us, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into worship. And I said this last week, we don't include a song at the end of our service to keep you here a little bit longer. We have this song so that what may be stirring in you, you may be able to do something with. Joseph, when he had the dream, when he felt the pull and tug of the Lord, he went immediately and did whatever. We're going to have prayer in the back. There's communion if you want to take communion. But our heart is that what God is stirring in you, you would solidify right now before you leave. So let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, thank you for sending us living example, like Zechariah, like Mary, like Joseph, that allowed their lives to be interrupted so that millions, billions of people can be opened to the gospel. So that this story about Jesus could reach our world. And so, Lord, we just want to be made aware of how you want to shape us so that we can shape our world. Lord, we are not the star of this drama that's going on in our life. We're just a supporting role. So, Lord, would you give us the ability to step off the platform and into our role and faithfully, like Joseph, walk out this life, this story. Lord, you have people that you've called us to care for. You have people that work to prepare the way for you to talk and share about the gospel. And I pray that during this holiday season, we would take opportunity for you to be heard and seen with our voice and with our actions. So Lord, would you shape and mold us to a people that are more interested in your kingdom come and your will be done than ours. I love you, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.